Good afternoon, everyone. Pleasant greetings to you on this God's beautiful Sabbath. Time is moving along. The world continues to fracture before our very eyes. A lot of the prophecies of the Scripture keep coming to pass. We can almost see it on a day-to-day basis. Even if you're not a member of the Church of God, people know something's going down. Everybody's getting antsy out there. They can feel the pulse of the world getting hotter and hotter in terms of events, crazy activities taking place. Are legislators going crazy, advocating things anymore that seem to all be impacting on the law-abiding, not on the criminal element of our societies? Well, today, what I'd like to do is to focus on something that you and I need to be mindful of in light of all of this that's going on in the world around us. We're always watching and praying and doing exactly as the Scripture admonishes us to do, and it tells us that in Luke 21, and the famous Olivet prophecy in Matthew 24 reminds us again that we need to really be on our toes because of the day and age in which we find ourselves living. And you and I have been called to witness the truth of God in our generation. Just like others who have been in the past, who have been called, they also had to witness in their generation. Even Daniel, you'll remember, when he wanted to know what was going on, he saw these visions of the future in the book of Revelation and the like, and he said, "Oh my Lord, what's going to be the end of these things?" And he was told by the angel, "Go your way, Daniel," he said, "because that's sealed until the time of the end." In other words, the truth and the understanding he had received was valid and good for his present time. And you and I are receiving knowledge and understanding that impacts on our time in which we're living today. And I believe much of that in Daniel is going to be unsealed along with the book of Revelation. Things are going to be coming to light more and more with the passing of every day as we see the world speeding up. And we know that, as the Scripture says, the adversary knows his time is short. But the question is, do we know our time? Are we aware fully of what we should be doing as the Scripture admonishes us? And I'd like to ask you to join me, first of all, in Matthew chapter 24. Let's go to the famous Olivet prophecy, Matthew 24, and we'll begin in verse 45. Jesus introduces something for us that we should be mindful of in the context of this end-time period we're living in. And this is a form of very important instruction and review from Scripture. So in verse 45, Jesus asked this question, because again, it's so important that we be ready when that time comes. Now, nobody knows the time. According to verse 44, "Therefore you be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes." So that's always a admonition similar to what used to be the motto, I think it is the motto maybe still, of the Boy Scouts of America: be prepared. And we have to be prepared. That's the goal of the Church of God, to prepare the people of God for what's coming. And we know it's going to be there because Jesus said it would be there. It would happen in our lifetime. Very strongly we see indications that things could be wrapping up in years, just a handful of years, if things really accelerate. And you can see how fast things can happen. People think, "Oh no, well that could never happen here." But it's incredibly amazing how fast things can happen. Just the right thing and suddenly the world changes overnight. Well, if you'll notice in verse 45, Jesus asks a question here. He says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" Now, we know that being a servant is very important in the plan and purpose of God. In other words, he's called us and he's training us in servant leadership. Not like the world where they flaunt it, rule hard over the masses. He's calling us to understand that the kingdom of God is quite different. It is service-oriented, truly service-oriented. And what it means and what it shows us here is that when Jesus says, "Who is the faithful and wise servant?" he says, notice, "whom his Lord has made him ruler over his household." Now, that is very important. I don't know if we've ever really focused enough on that as individuals, but it says, he's asking the question, are you going to be one of those servants that the master can put over his household to give them meat in due season? And then, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, finds so doing. Now, we know that Watching and praying is part of what we should be doing. We know that we must be overcoming. That's something we should be doing. We know that we should be preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and preparing the people of God for the events yet to happen. And that is something we should be doing. But here is something that also he addresses that maybe we have never really focused enough on. He said, this individual, this servant, is going to be made ruler over his household, the household of God. Now, this is very interesting because, again, it deals with the subject of stewardship. The stewardship. And what is a steward? A servant. He operates on behalf of the master. Now, what does the Bible define as our master? Jesus Christ. You call me Lord and you call me master, for so am I. So I am. And Jesus affirmed that. But here we have a very important aspect that takes us back to another individual in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. I won't go there for sake of time, but you know who his name is. Joseph. And Joseph was what? A servant. And he also demonstrated a stewardship when he was in the hands of a particular pagan householder. You remember when he was brought out of prison and he came into the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar did what? He noticed that God was with Daniel, or Joseph, excuse me. And in this particular case, what did Joseph do? He was so good at what he did in organizing and taking care of the things that his master required of him, that finally the master just said, hey, you're in charge of everything. Well, just one thing, you're off limits. Stay away from my wife. Other than that, he had free rein. It is interesting that that is an example given to us, because here again, you and I are called to be stewards of the things of God. And the sermon I've just entitled, Our Stewardship of God's Blessings. Our stewardship of God's blessings. Because as we live in this world and the life that God has given to us, he has given us a command here by saying, who is this faithful and wise servant who's going to accomplish the will of God in doing what? In ruling over his household. Having a major part, as we know, ultimately in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, serving throughout the kingdom of God when Christ returns to establish the millennial kingdom of God. We want to be a part of that. That is part of the dynamics that the Bible tells us we're being trained for. So in looking at this word steward and the stewardship of God's blessings, and we say, well, blessings, what do you mean blessings? God gives blessing to all things. Everything belongs to God. And it's important we stop to reflect on that, especially as human beings made in the image of God. What this translates to is this. Everything you have, everything that you are, everything that is around us comes as a blessing from God. We sing a song that tells us that very thing. It's called Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. And then when you're all finished, you'll see what God has done. They say you never know what you had until you lose it. Well, the blessings of God were poured out upon his people Israel in this end time, just as God promised. And it was to God's glory. Those blessings give us wonderful added enjoyments to life. We begin with our individual self. Look what God has done and how he has blessed us. He's given us this unique capacity to be made with a consciousness that no other creature on the earth has. We have a male and female human being relationship, and we have a consciousness of awareness of all this around and how God has so brought it to pass exactly as his word said it would be. He gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob these wonderful promises, and he fulfills them, and God shows that everything he has promised, he will fulfill. Now, mankind, the house of Israel, did not do that in his relationship with Old Testament Israel. You and I are to learn that we have a stewardship responsibility in the New Testament that we must make sure we fulfill. And God is going to work in and through us to accomplish this and prepare us so that we will be the kind of stewards He wants to do stewardship in the kingdom of God, to serve the masses of human beings who will yet be called in the plan and purpose of God. Now, steward, basically the primary definition means the manager of a household or an estate. A manager of a household or an estate. Now, that's where it gets to us as Christian men and women called of God at this time. Because sometimes we forget that God is watching how we run our household, our estate. We are under the observation of God at all times. And He is watching us to see how we operate in our homes and how we carry on the business of doing the things of God within our own small, little, millennial reign called a home. I use that as an example because, again, Jesus talks about if you can be trusted with the small things, if you can be trusted with that, then who's going to give you the real important things? Well, God is. The household then will expand to the kingdom of God, and kingship and responsibilities that the Scripture admonishes us. So here we are as individuals, and Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words gives us this admonition. A steward is one who is entrusted with the goods and affairs of another. Trusted with the goods and the affairs of another. Well, God has trusted us with the affairs of Almighty God. He's given us an insight and an understanding of who we are, why we were born, why we were placed on this earth, and who is responsible for creating it all. Where did all these blessings come from? They just didn't happen overnight by themselves. God brought them into existence, brought mankind into existence, and when that wonderful existence came online, then what did God do? He supplied everything that was needed for our original parents, Adam and Eve. They had it all. What was their job? They were to manage the household of the Garden of Eden. That was their home. And they were to dress and keep it. Think of what would happen today if everybody would just practice dress and keep as God commanded them. If everybody dressed and kept everything nice, there wouldn't be messes on the highway. There wouldn't be all this, that junk garbage that has to be picked up because people just don't care. They just throw things out the window of a car and on the road it goes. Well, God is showing us that He wants us to see how do we oversee and administrate our affairs in our life because they are a reflection on Him and what our purpose is in the future. Romans chapter 14. Join me there in Romans chapter 14. And in chapter 14, verse 4, we have the following. It says, "Who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." We are the servants and the stewards of Almighty God and what He has given to each and every one of us as men and women. We'll expound on that the rest of this message. In verse 12, if you'll notice, it says, So then what? Let every one of us recognize that we shall give an account of himself to God. What are we going to give an account on? How you have managed the household of God in the small manner in which we have lived our lives. Because how we run our lives on the home front reveals an awful lot to God. And whether or not we can be entrusted with the great responsibilities of the future. Now, we have to see ourselves as stewards of God, and He has appointed us over what He has created. It says, the heavens belong to God, but the earth He's done what? Given to the children of men. So mankind is supposed to be, as a whole, stewards of the earth. But you can see what's happening on the earth. It's dying. Mankind's not doing such a good job. In addition to that, if they're not doing a good job, what kind of job are we doing? Called out of this world to have a responsibility in our own individual set of circumstances. And the answer is, we have to be busy doing God's will in our own lives, because you have and I have been given spiritual blessings above and beyond the physical blessings of life. And everything, food, clothing, shelter, rain in due season, all these things are blessings from God. But human beings don't give God credit. They don't acknowledge the source of where all these things came from. When you look at your own physical body and you realize how fearfully and wondrously you have been made, and how you have been layered together with all kinds of different systems, and all these systems are necessary and integrated and work in harmony with this marvelous computer brain that even the president now wants to have mapped, like the DNA. They want to find out what's going on in the brain of a human brain, the mind. Well, they'll never find out, actually, the mind. The mind goes above and beyond. They'll map the physical brain, but they will not be able to map that spiritual component called the spirit in man, and especially they will not be able to address the Holy Spirit that comes into the mind that matches and melts with that very thing that we see called a Christian converted man and woman. God brings that about. That's His doing. Either our work that we do honors or dishonors our master. So, again, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. We belong to Jesus Christ because not only are we created by Him as the original instrument that God used to create all things, visible and invisible, but we also were redeemed by Jesus Christ. He bought us back from the grave because we were all headed that way. The wages of sin is death. But because He conquered death and came out of the grave, as we've just recently observed, know that He's at the right hand of God the Father now as our High Priest and Savior. What do we have going for us? We have the hope of eternal life through Him. That is the wonderful calling and revelation of Scripture. Now, what I'd like to do in the time remaining, I'd like to take you through some basic areas of review concerning our stewardship of God's blessings. Notice why all the world wants to come here to the United States of America. We sing that song, you know, America, God shed His grace on thee. What was that grace? How was it made manifest? With the blessings that Americans have. Blessings that most people don't even have in this world. You can go to some countries and you would be appalled at the way some people have to live their lives and their existence. And even when you are in the, what we call in America, the poor class, the poor have more going for them here than poor in other countries. It is just an absolutely wonderful blessing to live your life and have your family grow up in the United States of America. But there's a terrible price we are paying because of our sins. We are now beginning to lose those blessings because the nation is not being a faithful and wise steward of that which God has given. You and I now must take the mantle of that responsibility and be responsible, God-fearing men and women with this understanding that we are accountable to God. With this, our period of time in which we are given blessings, and those blessings are wide and many. You know, there's that old saying, you never know what you have until you lose it. You know, we saw our national heritage shocked when we gave away the Panama Canal. That was one of our great accomplishments in the history of the United States of America. We gave it away. We can't handle anything anymore. We can't even control our own borders. We're being invaded on all sides. Criminal elements are rising. God warned us and that would happen. He says, if you will not obey me, verse chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, And that's called the blessing and cursing chapter. Most of you are familiar with that. And there it is. All you have to do is look at that latter part of that chapter, and it goes on and says, because you were not thankful for the abundance of all things, that you had access to things that most people never had in their life, and it was given to you by the promise of God. Not because we were any better than anyone else. In fact, as a nation, we're probably just as bad in some cases as other nations on the face of the earth. But we were still God's people in this end time as a nation, the latter-day Israelites that were to face the end time and were warned by the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos that certain things were going to happen. Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 10 that all these things happened in the Old Testament for our learning upon whom the ends of the age are come. So events are happening, and most people are asleep at the switch. Most people couldn't care less, long as it doesn't rattle their wagon. They're just happy to kind of go along almost in a blind stupor. Those who do shake and realize this isn't right, this isn't going well, then we begin to realize why the Scripture says we sigh and we cry for the hurt of Jacob in this end time. And we do. It's not pleasant to see these things happening. But we have a serious responsibility that we must prepare for, again, because when the Lord comes, He wants us to be so doing. We know there's a lot to do, but here's more specifically in the household concept of what we want to do. Every God-fearing Christian man and woman is a steward of God's house. And all of this, remember, who rules in the kingdoms of men? Yeah, it is the god of this world, Satan the devil, who is the god of this world, but who rules in it? It is God who rules in the kingdoms of men. That's what the book of Daniel clearly shows. So therefore, this all belongs to God. It's just that there's a usurper who has tried to steal it from God and his power and his control, but he's not going to win. Now what you and I have to keep in mind is that God has, as Matthew chapter 25 shows us, let's go to Matthew chapter 25, if you will. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15. This is Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15. And notice what he does. In verse 13, he says, watch you therefore, because you don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. So it's a waste of time chasing after people trying to figure out just when Jesus is going to come. And you just have to be ready. Be in a state of readiness and God will provide. But notice now verse 14. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a faraway country who called his own servants, who would serve now as his stewards, and delivered unto them, what? His goods. Everything we have that we call ours is not ours. In fact, we are not even our own according to the Scripture. It says to Corinthians and the Apostle Paul writes him there, he says, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. We are bought with a price, and yes, we are. We just celebrated that at Passover time. So he's delivered his goods unto us. So whatever we have that we call our own, our car, our home, our clothes, our food, whatever it is, the resources you might have, they're not really yours. They're not ours. We have a responsibility to execute those things, but who do they belong to? It's God Himself. And notice he says, and unto one he gives five talents, another. He gives everyone according to their several abilities, and straightway he took the journey. So talents are given. Now talents play a very important part. In this world, we have a lot of talented people, a lot of wonderful talented people. And what do they normally do with their talents? Do they use them to glorify God? For the most part, no. They use the talents and abilities they have to bless themselves. And they seek to amass fortunes and wealth. Many of them live in just beautiful surroundings and have you know, more than most people could experience in a lifetime. Lots of money, able to go wherever they wanted to go, making billions in resources at their disposal. And what did they want? They go after fame, money, and power. Fame, money, and power. And I think it was J. Paul Getty once who was, he's deceased now, but he once said that he would give all his money away if he could just have a happy marriage. Because he went through marriages like people buy cars. You know, he just, now you, this one didn't work out, let's get another one. Let's try a different one. That's not how you approach the sacred marriage union. But nevertheless, Christians are called to use their talents to serve and glorify God. That's why Galatians 2:20 is written, where it says, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet it isn't me, it is Christ who lives in me. And everything he was doing now, he's doing with an idea to glorify God, to be mindful that it is God and that he is a reflection upon God by the very fact of the talents and abilities and being a custodian or steward of the blessings of God. Now, consider some of these things. Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew 28, verse 18, that we are under authority, his authority, because he said there at the closing comments of Matthew 28, he said, all power and all authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth. So Jesus is the one who reigns supreme at the right hand of God the Father, and he is doing what? He's executing the will of God, his beloved Father. And you and I are to execute that same will as Christ has revealed to us through his very life. And when we do that, we begin to understand our stewardship responsibilities of God's blessing, because everything you are blessed to have, you know, you just look at your own human life and you realize what a blessing it is to be able to see, to hear, to smell, to taste. We have a beautiful Sabbath day today. How beautiful it is to be able to see the beauty of God's creation. Why did he do that? Why did he make such beauty? For our enjoyment. He gives it to us as a blessing. He makes the things that we take for granted sometimes, the food, clothing, shelter, all these things. People think, I have a right for these things. No, no, no. Nobody has a right for anything except death. The wages of sin is death, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The blessings are from God, poured out under his authority, and he gives us his responsibility. He wants us now to do what he has commanded us to do. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10, we have the following. Now, most people are familiar with verses 8 and 9. They hear this quite a bit. They'll hear things such as, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and that is correct. That's what we believe. Not of works, lest any man, any woman should boast. That is correct. We cannot earn our salvation. It is a gift from God. But notice what goes on from this point on. For we are his workmanship. In other words, we have been designed by the Creator's hand as men and women and created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has a lot on the drawing board that he wants to accomplish. Just like if you are going to create something, you have to do what? You usually will get a blueprint of a particular operator. You're going to build a building, you get a blueprint. You can't just throw it up. You have to get your blueprints and then lay it all out, plan it out, and then you have to work at building off those blueprints. Well, God's got a lot of blueprints going on in his mind and his thoughts because he's going to keep his sons and daughters busy for all eternity. There's never going to be, I'm bored. I don't have anything to, you know, I've been here, Lord, about 250 million years, and I just can't take it anymore. Sitting on this cloud doing nothing is driving me crazy. It's not going to happen like that. God's going to say, oh, you've run out of things to do? Let me show you. Come on over here. Here's some more. This will keep you busy for another 500 million years using time. But, of course, in that dimension, we won't be living by time. We'll be living by eternity's standard. So it goes on to show right here, unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk or live in them. Well, if we're to live in them, where do we get the practice and the opportunity to do that? Right now, with this life, in our households. God says, I watch how you take care of your homes. I watch how you take care of everything that I have put and made accessible to you. We'll cover some of that in just a moment. So by the master's appointment, we have been given the responsibility of stewardship. Whether you're a minister, whether you're one of the saints, let's take a look at 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, verse 10, as every man, every woman has received the gift. Every gift comes from God, every good gift. And notice, he says, even so, if you receive this gift, you understand what it is you're called to do by God's Spirit. Then it says, even so, minister the same one to another. In other words, be giving, be flowing outward in what you're doing with this gift. And do what? As good stewards. Notice, he defines as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, yes. We didn't earn any of these wonderful gifts and blessings, but God has given all these things to do what? To complement the gift of life that he gives to us. The things we so much enjoy, the vehicles that bring us to service and serve us, they're just physical things, but we are never to put our heart on those things. We're to realize where they come from. So again, talents are used as opportunities to enhance our relationship with God and with one another, to serve our God with a joyfulness of heart. And this is why the Bible says about the love of the brethren, because we're all called for the same purpose, to learn how to serve and use wisely the things God has placed in our hands. Let's face it, folks, we have not always used wisely the things God has given us. We're delinquent in that area. That's why this is an important subject to look at, because, again, God is not looking for delinquents who are going to be in his kingdom and manage his household. He wants people who are wise and faithful in what they've been given. That means we've got a lot of work to do, to review ourselves, to acknowledge where we've messed up and ask God to help us get rid of the things where we've really messed up and make sure that we're moving in the right direction with his word as our guide. God has enriched us for all liberality, causing us to be very thankful. Let's notice 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we begin in verse 6. But I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap so sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man, every woman, according that is purposed in their heart. So let them give, not grudgingly, of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, this we quote many times when we do a special offering on the holy days. It was one of the things that Jesus said to the disciples that they heard, and Paul understood this, and Paul is the one who recorded it for our learning. Being thankful, being appreciative, and being outgoing in our service of that which God places in our hands is very important to God, because look what God has done for us. What if God said to us, you know, I'm only going to give you so many breaths today. What happens when you run out of breath? You cease to exist. What if God says, no more food, but you want more food? Your body needs more food. What if God were to say, I'm sorry, the lights go out, no more looking out at a beautiful day. Everything's darkness from now on. Oh my, what a terrible place that would be. Total darkness. And so what we begin to perceive and understand that in our appointment by God, this is a serious thing in terms of how God looks at it. Remember, he says, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. It's easy for us to just kind of take things for granted. And we've had so many wonderful blessings and freedoms in this country that today people are literally watching their wonderful blessings dissolve before their very eyes. Why? Because they never stood up and they never were willing to say, that's enough. It's not going to go this way. And because people just took things for granted, guess what? Individuals have slipped in, evil and wicked people in high places, like the scripture prophesied would happen, and these wonderful benefits would begin to disappear. And today, we are witnessing those very things disappearing. But people had this idea, it could never happen here. Could never happen here. History shows it can happen anywhere, even here. Even here in the beloved United States of America. And that's why today people are in a very serious state of affairs. That first point is to remember that we have a mandate from Jesus Christ. We are appointed by the Master to prepare every day and manage wisely our households, which are a small type of what God is going to do in preparing for the big household of the kingdom of God when it is established. The second point that we need to look at, not only must we be faithful in this calling, but the second point to keep in the mind is this. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Join me in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. This is a scripture that has weighed heavy on my mind for many a year in service in the ministry and trying to pass this understanding on to the men and women of God's body, the Church of God. You and I, in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, are admonished to walk circumspectly. That means live your life with an awareness of what's going on around you. Be circumspect. Be aware of what's happening. And then he says, not as fools. In other words, just living life as if God doesn't exist, because only a fool has said in his heart there is no God. But as wise, which means the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So you begin to live your life with an awareness of God in every day that you exist by the grace of God. And then he tells us, and this is the key scripture, verse 16. You and I have to be busy redeeming the time. That's a second major component in good stewardship, that we must recognize we don't have an infinite amount of time. We have certain amount of time in which to learn these lessons. And we walk on the earth by the grace of God. How long that time is, it's in God's hands. But we want to be very, very grateful for every day God gives to us. And he says, redeem the time, because the days you find yourself living in are evil. And that word evil translates, one application of it means hurtful in its effect upon you. Would anyone disagree that we're living in a day and age today that is not having a hurtful effect upon all humankind? From the air we breathe to the food we eat, they're monkeying with food and doing all kinds of GMO arrangements on the food we eat, and then has side effects that are impacting on the health and well-being of many Americans today. That's why Europe doesn't want certain of our products anymore, because they say, it's not good. You're tinkering around with stuff that's not right. And so today, we have this admonition that we are to be redeeming the time, making the most of the time you have every day, learning from the lessons of the past, hoping with the future that we will have many other days. And God has promised us, if we fear Him and walk in His ways, He will grant us many days. But all things are in His hands for His final approvals. As human beings, we all would like more time. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and this is in verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Here we have the account of Christ coming and visiting, and here's Martha and Mary. And Martha is busy in the kitchen. She's working hard. Martha gets a little bit perturbed with Mary because she needs some help in the kitchen. And so she says in verse 40, Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Please bid her therefore that she helped me." And Jesus answered and said, "Martha, Martha, you are careful," or you're, in other words, "you're very concerned and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her." What Mary chose was to keep her priorities straight with regard to living life. And here is the master now in the house, and she has the opportunity to sit down at his feet and be taught by the master of the household. And Martha was too busy running all around, chasing after this, that, and what have you. Now, what do we learn from that? Have we not been like Martha, chasing around a lot of times, worried about this, that, cumbered about? We have to do this, have to do that. No, we don't. What we have to do is listen to the words of Jesus Christ, slow down, because my sheep hear my voice. And God says, He is a God of peace. He doesn't want us chasing after a lot of things, but if I might borrow the expression, He wants us chasing after Him. Chasing after God every day, not letting a day get by where, as Jeremiah the prophet said, a bride can't forget her attire, but my people have forgotten me days without number. They just get so encumbered with life. And we're all guilty of that to a degree. There have been days when things have slipped through the cracks. We thought this was so important, that was so important. There's an old saying, I don't know if you've ever heard this one. I don't know how old it is, but I know it's a saying that I've heard recently, a better way of putting it. When you're long gone, your inbox will still be loaded. In other words, you worry about this, worry about that. I got to do this, got to do that. Hey, when you're gone, your inbox will still be filled. There's always going to be something to do. That's why God says, don't worry about those things. What we need to be concerned about is the priority. What we're talking about here in this particular area of responsibility of our stewardship of God's blessing is that we've only got so much time to learn these lessons, and God wants us to learn it each and every day. You know, we all would like to have more time. Let's notice Psalm 90. Psalm 90. And notice what the psalmist says. Psalm 90 and verse 10. The scripture tells us that after the post-flood period of time, the lifespan of mankind was cut down drastically. Human beings lived a lot longer prior to the Noahian flood. After that, it began to drop. There's many reasons for that that have been speculated. Some say this, some say that. But the Bible makes it very clear here in verse 10, through the psalmist, that the days of our years are 70, basically 70 years. And it says, "And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, and yet in their strength and labor and sorrow, and for as soon is cut off, and we fly away. In other words, life can go on, and because of the technical benefits we have today of modern health and technology and things of this nature, human beings have been blessed to live a lot longer. Normally it is around 70, 80. Just recently a comedian died. He was in his late 80s. And we have other people who have lived to 92 years of age and some living to 100 years of age. And because of that, it makes us realize again, life is in the hands of Almighty God. And we want to make the most of each and every day that God so graciously grants to us. Verse 12 reminds us of this, that we should do what? So teach us. This is a teaching experience, a teaching lesson. Teach us to number our days, to realize that, yeah, time is moving along. That's why we have to redeem the time, make the most of it, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. Because God is the one in whom our lives exist. We honor Him by the use of our time. We make that time count. We wake up in the morning, good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. God be with us throughout the day. Guide us with your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. May your holy angels be with us to shield us from the fiery darts of the adversary, because he's on the warpath out there. There are many of your people who are struggling that need help. You pray for the sick. You pray for the afflicted. You ask for God's deliverance and protection daily. Remember, we live in a hostile environment in many ways. And when we understand the spiritual forces driving all this behind the scenes, we really see what the hostile force is behind the scenes and what we struggle against. We have to buy up the opportunities we have to make the most of each and every one. Now, the third thing that we have to consider, now, number one was, again, what? What are we talking about? The appointment that we've been given. Number two, the use of our time, a critical component in living as a steward of God. We've got to make the most of time. And unfortunately, you know, we waste a lot of time, don't we? We waste a lot of time. And God does not want us. He wants us to redeem the time. And so tells us. The third point and component that I think is important for us to keep in mind, if we're going to be good stewards, we have to look at the stewardship of our possessions, what we call ours, which is not really ours. It all belongs to God. The house you live in, the car you drive, the clothes on your body, the food you eat, the air you breathe. Everything comes from God. I think even Rush Limbaugh, at least I give him credit for this, he made reference to the fact, he says, because he talks about his talents, and he says, talent on loan from God. Yes, everyone who's got a talent, ability of any kind, is on loan from God. That's where it came from. It didn't come from some monkey swinging out of a tree through evolution. Your talents and abilities were given to you by the greatest being in the universe, our Heavenly Father, who is like no other. He is a God of gods, a King of kings, and His Son is the perfect reflection of all that He is, and God sent Him to us so that you and I could see God the Father. What a great God that we worship and are called to serve in our lifetime through Jesus Christ. Because God is invisible. He sits upon the throne of His glory in the heavens above. Nobody has seen God. And if you could look at Him in our present state, we would vaporize instantly. We couldn't look upon Him and live. But we can look upon Jesus Christ and get an inkling. Because if you've seen Christ, you've seen what the Father's all about. His character is displayed, His love, His compassion, and His anger against sin. Not to tolerate sin, not to tolerate it in any way, shape, or form, but to rebuke sin. That's what the Scripture does. So the Bible, when we talk to God in prayer, that Bible, as I've said before, talks to us and it rebukes us. It tells us that we better shape up, because time is of the essence. We don't have a lot of time to waste in this world. Satan is a time taker, and he'll take our time to cause us to waste it. He'll have us watching too much television we shouldn't watch, or doing this or doing that. It's not a thing that's wrong. It's how a thing is used. And today all we think about is, lo and behold, we've got individuals who want to ban this, ban that, and they think they're going to solve all mankind's problems by banning this, banning that. Well, if that were true, then we'd have to give up everything because we misuse everything. It's just the way mankind is. The stewardship of our possessions is very important. We have to manage our money. Romans 13, verse 8, talks about that. How we manage money is very important. Look how our country has managed money today, and now we're headed for trouble, big time. And how is money managed in our families? Well, we've made good decisions at times. We've made bad decisions. Frankly, many of us were never taught how to learn and use money properly years ago. And today, now our country's in a serious state of affairs. We know we have to pay our taxes. Jesus said, render to Caesar what's Caesar's, render to God what is God's. And that's what we have to do on a daily basis. We are told that our basic approach in the use of our possessions is what? To be generous. That's in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. To be generous. We are to be humble in our giving. And that's in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. And we must dutifully take care of our families as best we can. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, 8, and 16. So, stewardship of our possessions. The important thing is, what is causing most people to fall apart today? Their quest for materialism. They worship things. Someone once told me, you know, years ago it was amazing. Back then, people valued people more than things. Today, they value things more than people. And you can see how they cast people away. And people are the most important thing. That's what Christ died for, not things. He died for us so that we would have life through him. Because our God loves us and cares for us deeply. The fourth and last point that I would bring to your attention on this stewardship has to do with this. We are stewards of our own physical health and well-being. We have to dress and keep and watch and take care of this temple, which temple you are. Now, many of us, even in this room, have issues regarding health. This is just, again, part and parcel of whatever kind of health you have. God is telling us, take care of it to the best of your ability. Nobody has perfect health today, but God is the source of our health and well-being. If we go to him, he will help us in the effort to dress and keep it. That means we may have to look at how we commit our exercise program. Are we exercising enough? Are we eating the right kind of foods? We've all done wrong in these areas. And that's why God gives us dietary laws for health and well-being. He wants us to prosper and be in good health. So physical health, even though it's temporary, is a blessing from God. And we appreciate it and want to thank him for it. We see in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God wants you to take care of that he has entrusted to you, his Holy Spirit. And he's placed it in our minds, in our hearts, so that we can understand more than ever before about spiritual matters. He tells us we cannot use this physical body, this life, and defile it with immorality. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. And we live in a Sodom and Gomorrah immoral world. And it is terrible, some of the things that they do on television anymore. They are becoming more bold and blatant, and you have to have the courage just to shut it off when you see something that jumps at you and it's unacceptable. Or get up and walk out from a movie if they throw something at you that you were not accepting that they throw. You know, they just slip it in on you. And we just don't want to give in and compromise to these things because then we're caving to the wrong element. Taking care of your health gives you more opportunities to serve God. Because all of us realize, as we get older, we're not able to do as much as we did when we were younger. Why do you think it says, seek God in your youth? That's why the video for our campers, to remind them, get on board with God early. You got so much more going for you if you do that. But it doesn't mean you have to just, well, I'm old and what can I do? Everyone is precious in the eyes of God. And it's better to get with God no matter what your age is. Having strength to be able to serve one another is very important. We know in the scripture that God is going to return and we're going to have to give an account. What have we done? Oh, I've just been watching. I've just been praying. What else have you been doing? Have you been overcoming? How have you ruled your house? You want to rule in my house, the kingdom of God? How have you ruled in your house, which is just a small microcosm of what God has for his house? God learns much about us, these things, and we need to be thankful that we have a master who loves us, and he commands us to be diligent and faithful in our service to him. So stewardship of our very life is in God's hands. The blessings God gives us must never be taken for granted. And so I just close by saying again, thank God for the life he gave you. Thank God for the blessings he gives you. Thank God for the love he gives us as men and women to be friends, to have the opportunity to be part of the kingdom of God. What a calling and chance of a lifetime has been placed before us. Let's redeem the time. Let's make the most of it while we've got the time.